Glory to God. Wave him in the air. Just wave him in the devil's face. The Bible says that he is the principality and power of the air. He is the prince of the air. So just wave him in the air. Just let him know you got your weapon. You ain't playing around. And say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
And my Bible is
the Word of God.
And the Word of God is devil destruction power.
Is devil destruction power.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
And my Bible is
the Word of God.
And with this word, I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil
every day.
Every day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
And my Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word
is
the revelation
of His will
for my life.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it by faith
in the name of Jesus.
I claim those 7,000. That's contained in this word from God to me in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to share your word, to speak your word, to preach your word, and to do your word. Father God, I ask, Lord, that the word will be sown in the heart of each person that is here today. Satan, I rebuke you. I say that you will not steal the word from their hearts this morning, but it will be sown and it will produce fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just so blessed by those testimonies. And what's your name again, sweetheart?
Samantha.
Samantha, welcome. We're so glad to have you here today.
Yes.
Glory to Jesus. We're going to continue teaching on the subject, Your True Enemy, Part 3. Now, I don't always have time to put together these nice, cute little PowerPoint slides, so don't expect this to happen every single week. When we first started the church, I was doing that, but it was just me and my family. There was nobody else but us five, and so I had plenty of time to do these type of things. But I will bring some of the messages that I preached to just my family alone. There were some good messages, y'all. That's right. It was good. I mean, it was just us five, and the Lord told me, don't you even water down anything. You will speak to them as though you were speaking to 1,000. So I did. It was hard. Because sometimes you felt like you was playing house, but praise God. But anyway, we're going to continue in our teaching, Your True Enemy. And this is the third and hopefully final version of it. I'm not sure yet. We'll see how we can make it through the day. Y'all give me about 3 hours. All right. For the past couple of weeks, we've told you that you are to recognize that Satan, and not God, and not other human beings, is the source of your problems. We learned from Ephesians chapter 6 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, people do yield to the devil, and yes, people can make you angry, and yes, you should address people when they do you wrong. However, when you become angry, you can harbor your anger against the devil. Do not harbor your anger against the other person. Praise God.
Amen.
Forgive them and then go after the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
He's the troublemaker. He's the source behind your problems. And please, oh please, oh please, oh please, do not blame God. Now somebody will ask, what about Job? Guess what? We're going to get to that in a minute. You know, Job, two things have been used as a source of contention within the body of Christ, especially those who like to emphasize what is called the sovereignty of God. And I believe that God is a sovereign God. The word sovereign simply means that he is the ruler over all things. But guess what? Muammar Gaddafi is also sovereign. Did you know that? He's a sovereign over his whole country. Anybody who's a ruler is a sovereign. God just happens to be the sovereign ruler of the whole universe. But that doesn't necessarily mean that God is a puppet master who controls every single detail and every aspect of what you and I do and what the devil does. Praise God. See, there's a phrase amongst Christianity that says, God is in control. Now, I don't have a real problem with that phrase, even though I'm writing a book against it. But I don't have a real problem with that phrase if you can explain it to me. Because so many people mean different things by it. Some people say, well, when I pray to God and I put my problems into God's hands, God is in control because he's on the throne. That I can agree with. But when you say, well, this happened to me because God allowed it because he's in control and somehow, some way, he's going to make it work out for my good, I don't know how, then I have a problem with that. Because now you're blaming God for things that the Bible specifically says that the devil does. See, that would make God your enemy. If God is putting sickness on you, he's putting diseases on you, he's causing you to have accidents, he's causing you to have problems with your family, your marriage, your children, whatever have you, if that's God doing it, then he has become your enemy. And the devil's out of a job. So, the Bible tells us that we are to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who?
The devil.
The devil. It's not God. It's the devil. He's your adversary. Don't make God the adversary and put the devil out of business. You know, he needs a job. So you be sober, you be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Guess what he's doing? He's seeking whom he may devour. The only way he can devour you is if you let him. That's why he has to seek. Because if he could just devour you, if he could just destroy you, he would have done it a long time ago. And so we noticed within that passage, we looked at verse 7, and verse 7 says, cast your cares upon the Lord because the Lord cares for you. Now, if I was to beat my daughter, take a needle of AIDS and stick it in her arm and give it to her and say, I did that for my glory and for your mysterious good, somehow it'll work out for you in the end. Trust me. What would y'all think of me?
Wicked.
Wicked? Evil? A real jerk. Somebody who deserves to be in jail. Why do we accuse God of these same type of things? Why do we accuse God of destroying people's lives? God cares about you. If I care about my daughter, I will protect her from those things, not give those things to her or put those things on her. We've got to begin to realize we are in a spiritual warfare. There are forces that are opposed to you and me because we are serving God. And those forces, those same forces, are opposed against God. This warfare is not a game. It is real. Amen. Satan has been defeated on the cross by Jesus through the cross and the resurrection. Nevertheless, he still either thinks he has it somewhere in his mind. He still thinks he can make a comeback. Or he figures that he's already been defeated, so he's going to take as many with him as he possibly can. Let me tell you something, baby. This is a warfare. It's real. You've got to learn to stand against the walls of the devil. And his biggest trick is to blame God for what he's doing. So, according to Webster's, and I don't know if, you know, I think Noah Webster's was a saved man, the one who first wrote the Webster's Dictionary. The word adversary is one that contends with, opposes, or resists. He is an enemy. We learned last week that the Bible teaches that the one who contends and opposes us is the devil. He is our true enemy. I'm sorry that we don't have the CD from last week because the battery ran out and I didn't check it. But we looked at Matthew 13:24-39. That was the parable in which Jesus talked about how the Lord had planted a harvest and then the enemy came in and planted a bunch of weeds amongst the harvest. And the Lord said an enemy had done this. And then he revealed exactly who that enemy was, which was the devil. But see, God planted good seed. The devil planted the wicked one. The devil, the enemy, planted evil seed. And we learned through Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20, that we have been given all, we have been given authority to trample upon all the power of the enemy. Who's our enemy? The devil. The verse before that says Satan. He talks about, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Satan is a fallen being. He is a defeated foe, and he is, and we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the devil, who is our enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We've got protection, glory to God.
Amen.
Unless we are called to martyrdom and don't claim it, unless God has called you, and there are people who are martyred for Christ, who have to die for Christ. Like that little girl in Colombia. She was serving the Lord. Somebody pulled out a gun and they asked her, do you believe in Jesus? And she looked at that person and said, yes. She knew she was going to die. But see, you know, God calls certain people to that. All right? You know, if that happens to me, I praise God. I truly believe in all my heart that I would say, I'm going home. Glory to God. Yes, I believe in Him. Glory to God. But until that time, until my time comes, I believe in divine protection. Praise God. I believe that God will protect me. He will keep me from all physical as well as spiritual hurts and harms in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. So now, why was Job, or why Job was unable to do anything about the devil, and why that is not true for you and I today? You're going to learn through this teaching today, and I hope I can get through it today. If not, we'll finish it up next week. Why Job could not battle against the devil like you and I can do and defeat him today. You see, you always remember, first of all, this is a Bible teaching church, and we don't teach based on traditional interpretation. We teach what we believe is the plain, true word of God as it is spelled out in this book right here. Many times we are blinded by traditional teaching, and even when we, because some things are taught from the pulpit, and then when we read the Bible, we read it with the glasses of that pastor or preacher or whoever who taught us certain things. And so it's difficult for us to see the truth. You know, God has had to teach me to read the Bible based on what it says and not based on what somebody else said about it. Praise God. Now, don't get me wrong. There are teachers. God has called teachers, apostles, evangelists, prophets, and pastors into the fivefold ministry. And all of these are utilized by God to bring edification and to enable us to be workers in the ministry of God. So we should regard teachers, and we should regard prophets and evangelists and pastors and apostles. We should listen to what they have to say. But you have the obligation to check out everything anybody says with this book, including yours truly. I do not claim to be infallible. I do not claim to know it all. I do not claim to have all the great and vast knowledge of the universe. I'm still learning every day, and glory to God, I'm glad about it because I get excited about learning new things. How about you? Life would be boring if you knew everything. Glory to God. Only God knows everything, and I can't handle that job. But so as I teach you and talk to you today about Job, I want you to listen very carefully and take the blinders off, the traditional blinders off that people taught you about Job, and try to see exactly what the Word of God says on the subject. Now, first thing we want to talk about is the fact that some people, in order to escape the idea, you know, because Job suffered a lot. And some people don't like that fact. They don't like the fact that Job went through some hell. So one of the things they try to do is say, well, yeah, Job is a book of the Bible, but it's not a literal historical book. They try to say that Job was not a real person. You know, the book is just an allegory, a fictional book in which God teaches some truth from it. but it's mostly a book of poetry. Some people even say it shouldn't even have been in the canon of the Bible. You know, when we get around to wanting to conveniently take things out of the Bible just because it doesn't fit within our theological perspective, then we are in trouble already. Praise God. I mean, you know, I got people who are anti-charismatic, and they tell me that we should remove Mark 16 from the Bible. You know, the one that says that in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Some people want that out of your Bible. You know who's motivating that? The devil. But listen, other books of the Bible show that Job is a literal and real historical figure, just as Daniel and Noah were. You can find that in Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 14 through 20. Job, Noah, and Daniel were historical figures. Unfortunately, some people don't believe that in the truth that Noah really did have an ark. They think that's a children's fairy tale. But no, that's a true historical account, y'all. Noah, there really was a guy named Noah. He really did have an ark, and he really did have a whole bunch of animals in it. And I'm glad I wasn't him, because that probably was a smelly boat. I tell you, having to feed all them animals too? Glory to God. And the book of James, which is in the New Testament, James confirms that Job was a real person. And later on, we'll find out we'll deal more in that scripture concerning James. And you'll see the purpose of God having put the book of Job in our Bibles. Praise God. See, if you get rid of the book of Job, then you're going to have to also get rid of the books of Ezekiel and the books of James. Man, that's a lot of dissecting of your Bible. You know, knocking it down from 66 books to 63. And then with something else that ain't convenient for you, then you knock that one down. I mean, goodness gracious. So, one of the things we want to point out is the fact that Job's dilemma is often blamed on the sovereignty of God. Even worse, Job is made out to be the pattern of how Christians are supposed to react to the devil. In other words, you're supposed to sit there and take it. Yeah, when Satan comes along, God sent him to test us, so we must sit there and be beaten up by him. Please. Today's lessons will debunk. I like that word. It just sounds so makes me sound so knowledgeable. Anyway, today's lesson will debunk or refute this false teaching, and it will help Christians to understand the New Testament pattern for dealing with Satan's strategies against us. First thing I want to point out to you is Job 1 and 8. Turn with me to Job chapter 1, verse 8. You need to understand that Satan is your true enemy. Satan, not God, not other people, is your true enemy. He is your primary enemy. He's the one you... God does not allow you to hate man or to hate him, but you can hate the devil. If you want to hate somebody, direct your hatred towards him. Now, most of you know the story. If you don't, please read the background. You know, Job, he was a great man. He was a righteous man. He was an upright man. You couldn't find no better than this guy in all of the world back in those days. Job was the bomb, all right? He was the eighth boon coon doggy wax. And then it tells the story of how Job was, what a great guy he was, and how his sons and daughters would hang out and start partying and drinking wine and whatnot, and then Job would get concerned about them, and he would make sacrifices for them and pray over them and everything, which is a good lesson for us men of God. We need to be praying over our children all the time. Glory to God. So Job was a praying man. He was a man who loved and was concerned about his family. Glory to God. But then we go down to verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, the accuser, the adversary," that's what that word means, the accuser, the adversary, "came also among them." He's your enemy. "And the Lord said unto Satan," the accuser, the adversary, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, what did we just see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? It says, Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is exactly what he does. He goes to and fro about the earth. See, if you really study that out, like during the time of Abraham, when God had promised Abraham the land of Canaan, God said these almost exact words to Abraham. He said, walk to and fro about this land and walk up and down in it. In other words, it was his way of claiming land that belonged to him. Well, that's what Satan is doing. He's going about trying to claim this territory. The Bible says that he is the prince or the ruler of this world. He is the God of this present age, and that this is an evil age. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. He is the prince of the power of the air. So he goes about trying to show that he is in charge of his domain. He's walking about trying to destroy anybody who is a threat to his domain. Praise God. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was going about trying to find somebody to devour. And also, he was trying to find a way to bring an accusation against God in front of all the other angels that were there. You know, because that's how Satan fell. He fell through trafficking. If you believe Ezekiel chapter 28 is actually the origin of the devil, which I do believe. He went about trafficking, going around telling the angels, see, Jehovah, he ain't treating you right. Look at that. If y'all follow me, I'll treat you right. I will do you right. Have you ever had anybody do that before? You got some charismatic people out there, whether you're in high school, whatever, they know how to lead people into destruction. And people will follow them too. And that's what Satan was doing. He said, man, I can take a bit better care of y'all than him. See, all he wants is, he's so arrogant, all he wants is your worship. You worship me, and I'll treat you better. And so a third of the angels followed him. So then we get down here to verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright one, man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now this is where trouble often comes when people read this. Because what they start thinking is, okay, Satan came and he's reporting to God. He's telling God what he's doing. And then they think that God has decided, well, let me just dangle Job before him. Let me see if he'll bite the apple and test Job out for me. That's not what he was doing. You got to read this and you got to read a little deeper than just the King James Version. If you read a literal translation, you'll understand more of what was happening. And, I put some of the literal translations up on the screen. It says, and Jehovah saith unto the adversary, hast thou set thy heart against my servant Job, because there is none like him in the land? In other words, when Satan came up to God and said, yeah, I've been walking around the earth, I've been walking up and down it, I've been walking to and forth in it, God knew right away, wait a minute, he's trying to attack. So he said, okay, are you trying to go after my servant? Is that what you're trying to do? That's the basic translation when you understand, have thou set thy heart against my servant Job. In other words, he's saying, okay, what are you trying to do? And you read the modern King James Version, it says the same thing. Have you set your heart against my servant Job, because there is none like him in all the earth? Let's go on. You need to really get this. A number of scholars, commentators, and translations point out that the literal meaning is set your heart on. And Albert Barnes, he was a Presbyterian scholar who pretty much said the same thing. But he said that the margin is a literal translation of the Hebrew. Schulten remarks on this that it means more than merely to observe or to look at, since it is abundantly manifest from the following verses that Satan had attentively considered Job. In other words, Satan was scoping the boy out. He had already set his heart against God's servant, and God was simply pointing that fact out to him. It wasn't God trying to bring up Job to him and say, "Ooh, why don't you destroy this guy, okay? Do me a favor." No. Satan had already had decided he was going to try to destroy Job. And God, we know that he's all-knowing, right?
Yes.
He knows everything, right?
Yes.
So he knew what Satan's plans were. You know, Satan wasn't going to say anything. So God brought the fact up to him. Okay, I know what your plans are. You have set your heart against my servant Job, haven't you? So Barnes goes on to say, since it is abundantly manifest from the following verses that Satan had attentively considered Job and had been desirous of injuring him, it means, according to him, to set himself against Job, to fix the heart on him with an intention to injure him. And Yahweh means to ask whether Satan had done this. So basically, as we see, Satan already had his sights on Job and was trying to destroy him. And we're going to see that in the next verses in a minute. I just want you to see a little bit more about this word. Even John Gill, he had to agree with that. But I like G. Campbell Morgan also said that the word considered, when you read the King James Version, is a very strong word. It means, hast thou been watching him? Hast thou been examining him? Hast thou been going round and round in the citadel of this man's heart, trying to find some way to break in? In other words, you see that Satan had already been targeting Job from the beginning. And God was simply bringing that to his attention. He was not saying, okay, since you ain't got nothing else to do, how about my servant Job? Have you looked at him? No, God had already known that this guy has been trying to destroy his servant Job. And so, we go from there. Look at verse 9. In verse 9 it says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? See, if you read the next verse, you see right away that the devil already knew about Job. He already knew about him. It wasn't God trying to bring up the servant and dangling him like a carrot in front of Satan and say, hey, bite, whoop. That's not what God was doing. He said, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? In other words, does Job have a reverence for God for nothing? See, now he's about to bring a false accusation against both God and Job. Look at this. Hast not thou, verse 10, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now I want you to see, you know what Satan is doing? He's saying, God, the only reason why this dude is serving you is because you've been blessing him.
He's trying to cause
vision. Yeah. He's saying, If you wasn't blessing him so much, I bet you he'll curse you to your face. He wouldn't love you. He wouldn't serve you. The only reason why anybody serves God is for what God will do for them, not because they simply love God. It's unfortunate that Satan is right about a lot of people in that category, though. And so he said, I'll tell you what, God, you touch everything he has. I bet you he'll curse you to your face. See, Satan had been trying to get at Job, but you notice that he has been protected by God. There was a host of angels surrounding him. So he couldn't get to Job. So what he had to do? Challenge God. Say, okay. But see, notice, it wasn't God that suggested this. God didn't say, okay, sir, Satan, do me a favor. Why don't you go and destroy Job? No, Satan was the one who brought the suggestion, hey, let me at him. First he tried to get God to do it. He said, why don't you destroy him? And let's see if he'll curse you or he'll bless you. And so God, in verse 12, God gives Satan permission to do it. He says, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Say, in thy power.
In thy power.
It was not in God's power. It was in the devil's power. So God did not do anything to Job. Satan did. Satan did it to Job. Satan brought the accusations against both God and Job. Satan was the one who made the suggestion of what to do to Job. And then God said, all that he has is in your power. God gave the permission. You see, Satan can't just do anything he wants to do. But that doesn't mean that God dangles Satan like a puppet. See, God didn't point out specifics with Satan. He didn't say, okay, Satan, this is exactly what I want you to do to him. I want you to do this, this, and this. No, God put limits on what Satan could do, but he did not tell Satan exactly what to do. Praise God. It was Satan who decided to kill his children. It was Satan who decided to destroy all his property. It was Satan who decided to do all these things. Ignore that. It was not God. God did not tell Satan what to do. He did not bring a suggestion to Satan. He simply limited Satan's capacity to what he could do to Job. Praise God.
Amen.
When you begin to understand that, then you will begin to understand that God is not using the devil as some watchdog. He's not sicking the devil on you anytime he just wants to test you out or to test your fidelity. It's Satan that brings accusations against you and asks for permission to go after you. Now see, back then, you need to understand some things. Job did not know anything about the devil. He could not read the first chapter of Job just like you and I can do today and understand who was really bringing this stuff against him. And see, back in those days, the Hebrews always gave God the credit for everything, good and bad. So that they, you know, because back then they, there were so many of the nations that worshiped so many false gods. And so they weren't ready for a full revelation of the devil that we have in the New Testament that came after Jesus Christ. We'll talk about some of the lessons. But I want you to understand something as you read this passage. Satan is the accuser who's always looking for a reason to slander both us and God. Amen?
Amen.
Satan is the initiator of the problems of life. It was his suggestion that God inflicted, though God allowed Satan to do it. God is the one who desires to deliver people, as we will learn from this lesson. He's the one who wants to deliver from captivity and sickness and poverty. It's not God who wants to destroy you. It's Satan. We need to understand that Job had no high priest or intercessor as we have today in Jesus. And Job complained about this. Job also shows us that no matter what we are going through, we should never become bitter with God, but praise Him and watch for the outcome.
Amen.
You see, me, I like the end of Job. People want to fuss about, you know, the beginning and the second chapters and all the Job's three friends and how they were mean and nasty to him. You know, with friends like that, who needs enemies? Good grief. You know, they started accusing Job of having sinned against God, and that's why he's in the predicament that he's in. You know, you don't need all that when you're going through. You know what I mean? I mean, goodness, Lord have mercy. You don't need somebody beating you down. Yeah, the reason why you're in this situation because you ain't been serving God. And that's exactly what they was doing to Job. Man, what kind of friends are those? But see, you know, I like to get to the end of Job. I like it when Job and God has a conversation, and then God says, Job, pray for them three knuckleheads that you were talking to. And so Job begins to pray for them and give offerings for them, and then God gives Job twice as much as he had before. Twice! That's a blessing. I tell you, I like the end of Job. That's what I like to focus on. We'll get to that later on down the road. There's a couple other things I want to show you. There's a lot I could teach you on this subject. I don't want to take all the time today. We'll probably do some more in the future. Turn to Job chapter 2, verse 3. Our main focus is See, it's like, as you can see from all my notes, and I don't always give everything that I have, that I could give. There's so much I could give on this lesson. Job chapter 2, verse 3. I want you to see that God is not happy with what is going on with Job. He's actually upset about it. When you read Job chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holds fast his integrity." God is bragging on Job. You hear that? You see that? God is bragging. You know, God, when you go through things and you stand strong and you don't give up, you don't become bitter, you know what God does? He brags on you. He talks about you. He said, "Look, this is my child. You see that? You threw your best at him and he's still standing. He's still going strong and she's still going strong." I like that when he says it about me. I tell you, I'm ashamed when he has to say, "Well, all right, Satan, you were right on that one. But you'll come back." God always has confidence in you, praise God. But look at that. He says he is one who still holds fast his integrity. "Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Look at that. The devil moved God. See, it wasn't God that initiated this thing. It wasn't God that wanted this thing. God says, "You moved me to do this. You moved me to try to destroy him without cause or without any good reason." In other words, there was no divine purpose of planning any of this stuff. There was no, well, now, granted, God knows everything. He knows everything is going to happen and stuff like that. But God had no set up plan to have Job destroyed. Praise God. You can't believe some of the teachings that are out there. And all the teachings I've read that teach that God somehow uses the devil to straighten Job out or something like that, they never ever quote this particular portion of the verse. And some of the commentaries I've looked at, they skip right over this verse. I'm telling you. Look at this in some of the more modern translations. In the, first it says, you know, oh, that's one of my notes. You know, God says that Satan moved him against him, therefore God could not have ordained the horrors of Job. The word "move" in the Hebrew means to incite, allure, instigate, and entice. In other words, it was Satan who instigated. He provoked this whole thing. He allured and enticed God and instigated this problem. Or as Anne said, tried to cause division between God and Job. So it was not a divine plan, some great divine, a mysterious plan of God to make Job more pious. Job was already pious. He was already a righteous man. He was already a good man. That was the reason why the devil wanted to destroy him in the first place. So, without cause, there was no divine reason behind what happened in Job. And when you read the Good News Bible, it says, "Did you notice my servant Job?" the Lord asked. "There is no one on earth as faithful and good as he is. He worships me and is careful not to do anything evil. You persuaded me to let you attack him for no reason at all. But Job is still as faithful as ever." Amen. I like the God's Word translation too. It says, "The Lord asked Satan, have you thought about my servant Job? No one in the world is like him." Wow. Ooh, I want God to say that about me. Woo! He is a man of integrity. He is decent. He fears God. And he stays away from evil. That's the description I want that God says about me. I'm trying to get there. And he still holds on to his principles. You're trying to provoke me into ruining him for no reason. So do y'all see that there was no scheme or plan of God to destroy Job, as so many people try to teach you and preach to you about? That Satan really is your true enemy and not God? Satan is the one who's instigating all these things against you? Oh, how much time do I have? Lord have mercy. I only got a few minutes. Okay, we're going to go through this because I want to finish this today, because we got next week I want to move on to some other teachings and things of that nature. But why Job could not do anything about the devil. See, what I want you to see is we can deal with the devil today. But Job could not. So Job, in that sense of how we engage in spiritual warfare, is not the pattern for that. Or when it comes to resisting the devil. Amen? Yes. You can't resist something that you know absolutely nothing about. Today, you can resist him because we have been given vast knowledge of him. As I said before, Job could not read Job's book, Job chapters 1 and 2 and learn about what was going on in the heavenly realm. Job knew nothing about it. So Job did not have a Bible like we do today, giving him knowledge of spiritual warfare. But there is no excuse for Christians to be ignorant of the devil's existence or his strategies today. See, lack of knowledge is what destroys people. Praise God. And we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says. Jesus had not yet won a decisive victory over the devil during the time of Job. In other words, Jesus had not come down in the flesh, and he had not taken on the devil. But see, today, we can rest in the victory that God has made for us. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. I have another message I preached at New Covenant a couple of years ago called, and I think we might have the CDs in the back. This talks about how we've got the victory over the devil, our accomplished victory. 1 John chapter 3. Begin at verse 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Guess what happens when you commit sin? Woo! For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Why was Jesus manifested? To destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy does not mean obliterate. It simply means to make ineffective. So God has made the works of the devil ineffective on your behalf when he came. Praise God. I like the way that the World English Bible says it. Anyone who does what is wrong belongs to the devil. The devil has done what is wrong from the beginning. That is why God's Son came. He came to stop what the devil does. I like that too. He came to stop what the devil does. Since the world is under Satan's control, he had access to Job. But now, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus. See, back then, Satan had all the control, but now the church has the control. We just need to exercise it, because Satan ain't going to give up territory easily. Amen. Back in Job's time, there are no promises of authority over the devil or any other Old Testament saint. But you and I have been given authority over the devil. Praise God. Amen. We read Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20 last week. We also mentioned Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20, which says that in my name they shall cast out devils. See, they didn't have those. You don't read nowhere in the Old Testament where people are casting out devils. That all starts happening in the New Testament. Praise God. Amen. We see that that begins manifested in the ministry of Jesus under a new dispensation. And that's why Satan back then had control and Job couldn't do anything about it. Job couldn't do anything about it because he didn't know anything about it. Praise God. So, on that, we made it through. We made it through, glory to God. And only under 44 minutes. But praise God. So, how many of y'all have a better understanding of what happened to Job right now? So, you know now that, so when somebody comes and throws at you, well, what about Job? You can tell them what about Job. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm planning on putting all these insights and stuff into a book, as I do with a lot of stuff that God has given me. So hopefully y'all pray for me. We can get around to getting this book written and you can buy it and make me rich. All right, just kidding. I'm just kidding on that part. But praise God. How many of y'all blessed today?
Amen.
How many of you learned something new today? How many of you are going to resist your enemy is steadfast in the faith today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Don't accept what the enemy does to you. Don't have things thrown at you. And also, hopefully in the near future, we'll even deal with Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know, a lot of people like to use that as well, saying that, okay, God just sends demons to just beat you up and kick your butt. But we will show you how untrue that popular teaching is. Praise God. Stand to your feet. I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to turn this over to Elder Steve, and he can he'll take up our offering and close us out. But let me just pray over you. How many of you have a need in here? Close your head. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Let me just see the hands of people that have needs. You just need God to touch you somehow, some way. Amen. Let me just pray over you real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the hands that are up. Lord, you see the needs that are in this place. Father God, I ask that you would just meet those needs right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would touch each person who has their hand up in faith, and that they will be, their hand being up in faith means that they will be able to receive from you. Father, I thank you for what you're about to do in their lives in the name of your son Jesus. Father, if there's anybody in here who's sick, Lord, I thank you that they have the victory over the devil in that area. And Father, I just speak forth your word and command healing to come in each body in Jesus' precious name. Father God, those who need finances, Father God, I thank you for the tithers that are here, those who give their offerings. Lord, that you would just meet their need according to your word, Father, and bless them. Father, I thank you for those who are having family problems, marriage problems. Lord, that you would just begin to touch their marriage, heal it in Jesus' name. Father God, those who need deliverances from anything, the world, the flesh, the devil, addictions, Lord, that you begin to touch them right now. Lord, that you would strengthen them so that they will be able to resist the devil in that area. Lord, I thank you for this and more in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.